Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host.
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to broadcast to all of you on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. You hear the theme song and the Mac Daddy is back, Dominic Carter.
Good afternoon on a tough time for the country.
Yes, Ebony K. Williams away today, so that means the Mac Daddy is in the house. And we start with the fact that when we left the airwaves yesterday, we know absolutely jack diddly squat, almost nothing more about this screwball crackpot, this cuckoo-a-munga shooter in Las Vegas, Eric Paddock. Almost nothing more. Let's first go to the audio tape of the president before he went to Puerto Rico earlier today, speaking about the shooter, Eric Paddock.
He was a sick man, a demented man. A lot of problems, I guess, and we're looking into him very, very seriously, but we're dealing with a very, very sick individual.
Now, Dominic Carter, you as an intrepid member of the Fourth Estate, always busting your shoes, always sourcing up stories from sources, etc. Are you surprised that 24 hours later, we know almost nothing more about this guy than we knew on the start of the broadcast day yesterday?
It's all going to come out relatively soon, it is my belief, about what made this man snap. I understand the reports that he's independently wealthy and so on, but there are reports that he gambled at $100 a hand games in Vegas. So maybe pressures of bad gambling played a role, but you just don't snap like this with such a sinister plot to kill Americans from above, innocent people that can't even defend themselves without there being some type of traceable evidence to your personality flaw or your straight-up mental illness.
Well, in fact, let's go to the audio tape because yesterday his brother in Orlando spoke extensively about his demonic brother who killed so many and injured so many in the greatest masked killing in the history of the United States.
Last communication.
There's nothing.
After the hurricane.
I mean, I can show you the text. He said, yeah, you know, okay. How's mom? Did you get power? You know, I mean, that was it. There's absolutely, we have nothing. Like I said, we have nothing for you. I mean, I hope someone finds out, figures out. Because we'd like to know.
A total blank so far. As he said, his last communication with his brother was at the time of the hurricane that clobbered Florida, and his brother was inquiring, how's mom? Are your lights on?
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Somebody knows something. The girlfriend knows something. Maybe the brother, perhaps the brother does not. But for this man to check into the Mandalay Bay Hotel several days in advance and to actually plot something as sinister as breaking out the window so that he could fire down on innocent people. Somebody knows something somewhere along the line.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Dominic Carter in the house today. That's 1-800-848-WABC. But Paddock's brother went on to talk about the fact that he never knew his brother dabbled with guns.
It was him who did this. There's no doubt about it, because he was him. I mean, he was
completely out of character.
He's never even drawn his gun. It makes no sense. He had a couple of handguns, I think. You know, he had a safe with a couple of handguns. He might have had one long rifle, but he didn't have any. I mean, he had no automatic weapons when that I knew of at any time.
You believe his brother when he says that, Dominic?
Perhaps he had an estranged relationship with his brother. That would be the only thing to account for the brother claiming that he had absolutely no information. But it just does not add up, Curtis, something like this to happen and for nobody to know anything. The girlfriend, someone knows that this man had snapped a long time ago.
All right. Well, then the brother spoke of the fact that the killer looks like a baby's backside. He had no violations with the law.
He doesn't even have parking tickets. He has no criminal record. He has no record of any affiliations. He has nothing.
What about mental illness?
That I know of.
History of mental illness?
Absolutely not. As far as I know, once again, nothing like that. He was a wealthy guy, and he liked to play video poker. He went on cruises. He sent his mother cookies from, big, huge, crazy boxes of cookies and stuff.
And then finally, the brother spoke of the dark secret of the family's past, that the father was a psychopath, was on the FBI's list of 10 most wanted men in America, had been a bank robber, and he went on to extrapolate.
My father was on the top 10 list for a while. His name's Benjamin Hotchkiss Paddock, I believe is his name. I didn't know him. We didn't know him. He was in jail and broken out of jail.
So could it be that at the age of 64, the evil seed emerged in the belly of the beast of this monster based on his lineage with his father, who was described by the FBI as a total psychopath? Could it have been that this matured late in life in him, because he gave absolutely no signs prior to this of having that kind of behavior?
My point is this, Curtis. If you're going to, and many times we see this in cases like this, why not just harm yourself if you're going to harm someone? I'm not saying that that's the answer, but if you're going to harm someone, why not just harm yourself? These folks were out for a lovely evening in Vegas with the beautiful weather and country music, and to have a great time under the stars, you know, as the day progresses. And this nut that planned this out decided to, I mean, these people, it was worse than being a deer when people were hunting deers. They were literally target practice for this man with almost an unlimited rounds of ammunition.
Let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Eddie calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Eddie.
Hey, Dominic. Good to hear you.
Hi, Eddie.
Listen, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but I think Big Brother really wants to keep as much information about things like this secret as they possibly could in this day and age. The Newtown shooting. There's still so much we don't know about that. What the heck? What was up with that kid?
Wait a second. You want to revisit the Newtown shooting, like Senate candidate in Alabama who said that was a decision of God?
Oh, no. I'm not one of them either. But, no, I'm just saying, I believe that they value secrecy. Like, the FBI, these high organizations, it just seems like they...
Yeah, but Eddie, why can't you just accept the fact that in a country like ours, awash with all kinds of weapons of war that are at your fingertips, your disposal, that if you go over the dark side, if you snap, that you are capable of doing these kinds of horrific acts with these weapons of war in your hand?
No, it is possible for someone to simply just go crazy and snap out of nowhere, but I think the possibility is a lot better that there's a lot of psychological elements and things that just the people in high places don't want the public really knowing about. Another one was the Boston bombing. That kid's still in jail. They never released it. They never said anything. You know how much research they're doing with that kid to find out why he did what he did?
Eddie,
what does the public know?
Eddie, the Chechen bomber boys, it was clear that the younger brother was a sycophant, a toady and lackey, a follower of his older brother, who was the motivator for that attack at the Boston Marathon. God, how did conspiratorialists emerge here?
But Curtis,
the guy's a degenerate gambler, a millionaire. He loved country western, loved going to Vegas. Obviously, bought guns at some point.
Curtis, the two don't generally go together. If you're a bad gambler, oftentimes you're not a millionaire. So traditionally, those two don't go together. The story normally goes, if you're a bad gambler, you've got tremendous problems in life.
Yeah, but nobody's suggesting he's a bad gambler.
Right, but Curtis, but then the other question becomes, if this man actually snapped, let's call it for what it is. Women in our lives know us almost better than we know ourselves. And you're telling me the girlfriend didn't see any signs of this man having snapped, if that were the case? Nothing?
To be continued. Let's go to Pete, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Pete?
Guys, one of the first questions that came to my mind that nobody is asking, I mean, everyone's saying, oh, how could this happen? You know, clean record and all this. Hello? What medication was this guy on? You know, the doctors give out these psych meds and these painkillers like they're Tic Tacs nowadays. Maybe he was on medication and didn't take it for a week or so.
You mean like Prozac? All of a sudden he had a Prozac moment?
It's an obvious question that nobody
but
asked.
But Pete, the brother, who was very forthcoming, he gave a lot of information. There was no mention that he was on medication or being treated by a psychologist or a shrink. Nothing so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, how does he know? I mean, that's all done confidentially.
Yeah, but, you know, this guy is now the most researched person in the world. You got guys like Dominic Carter who are skilled at extracting information, and in 24 hours, he does not fit in any box. There is no box we can put him in.
Well, what about this, Curtis? I mean, Big Pharma is so huge. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but is it beyond the realm of possibility that maybe they want to cover that up so Big Pharma, you know, gets to keep making their money?
Wow. We've had two conspiratorialists in a roll call. Now Big Pharma is behind this suppressing information that this guy maybe was on Prozac.
No, I think this is a case where the information is actually going to get out. But I am surprised that we don't have much as of yet.
How about the fact that we got schoolboys walking around who are titched, who bots, all the furniture upstairs rearranged in the wrong rooms, and that if you allow them to appropriate weapons of war, in which they can go and fire a weapon like it's a machine gun.
From above.
They're going to kill a lot of people and injure a lot of people. And it might happen again. Let's go to Russell in White Plains. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Russ?
Curtis, number three conspiracy. Did you hear on MSNBC Malcolm Nance, that intelligence guy, say that there's reports that the female companion who had gone to the Las Vegas police in advance and warned them, and she's now been suppressed. She's being held incommunicado. Have you heard that conspiracy yet?
She's been overseas. How could she have gone to the Las Vegas police in advance? He checked into the Mandalay Bay Hotel on Thursday. Uh-huh. Apparently, was working the slot machines, the video machines. He loved the machines. And he gave no hint that there was a problem. Why would you suddenly suggest that the girlfriend had reported something to the police?
Malcolm Nance reported this on MSNBC, Curtis. I'm just repeating what I heard.
You're the messenger. I understand. Mm-hmm.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
That the people who oppose Trump should use this as a Nixon goes to China moment, because Donald Trump doesn't want the population being armed to the teeth. He's worried for his own personal protection. And I'm sure he could do something about this. If it doesn't mean collecting guns himself, we should organize voluntary militias to go around to the people who have guns and collect them.
Voluntary militias. Wait, Russell.
What?
So the voluntary militia shows up outside of Dominic Carter's house in Pomona. Dominic, like this screwball, has a total of 48 guns, lots of boxes of ammunition. You think Dominic Carter would more likely say, take my car, take my little fluffy yarn ball dog, take my wife, take my kids.
You're not taking my
but
dog.
Try to take somebody's guns.
Well, with moral authority, Curtis, much is accomplished. You know, during abolition, the abolitionists were ridiculous. But not one day should have passed that a human being should have been enslaved. And not one more day should we People being slaughtered.
I completely understand, but I don't see the comparison here. Try to extract guns.
Good luck with
from
that.
Americans without there being a full-scale shootout.
Good luck with that.
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
Up on the line, the law one.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Ebony K. Williams out today. The Big Mac Daddy, Dominic Carter in the house. Let's go to Jonathan on the line from Fort Lee. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here at WABC. Jonathan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out that this guy was the ultimate introvert. This guy probably paid for every woman he's ever been with. Nobody ever liked this guy. You're going to find stuff on his computer that should never be heard of, let alone seen before. The guy's just going to be find out to be a total freak. It's the only explanation I can come up with.
Well, that's your explanation, but there is nothing that has surfaced that would suggest any of what Jonathan has just said. Nothing.
But also, Jonathan may have a point, but if this guy was, I hate to even use this word, smart enough. Let's say if he was sinister enough to plan this out several days in advance, to lay low and be at the hotel for several days so that he goes unnoticed, then chances are he's already scrubbed his computer clean.
Yeah, but remember, here's a guy who was almost living part of the time in the casinos because he's a whale. You know, he could get the perks. He lived 90 miles away, so he would travel to and from Las Vegas.
Have you ever met a person?
Yes.
Ever, that gambles consistently and wins? I've never met a single person that wins consistently.
No, but...
And if you don't win consistently, that means there's a gambling
right,
problem.
Right, but nothing suggests that he owed money, that
yet.
He was in debt.
Yet.
Apparently he had millions. I mean, we're not talking Carton here. You
okay,
know,
so
over
if, he,
the,
if, he
the
had,
fan.
If he had millions, where are the reports of where this money came from?
Okay, well, where that's all going to source out. But all I can tell you at this point, when you're a degenerate gambler in Vegas, a lot of people know you owe. And nobody has suggested he owes a nickel, dime, a penny. Let's go to Brian in Nassau. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Brian.
What's going on? This country is on eggshells as it is. All right? I think the first thing that they need to find out is a political affiliation. All right? People who go to country concerts, there's a lot of first responders, cops, military, a lot of deplorables, as, you know, I'm one of them, I guess.
Yeah, that's unfair, though. But go ahead.
Oh, all right. Regardless, if this was a politically motivated attack, you know, backed by Antifa, any one of those organizations, this country is in a lot of trouble.
Wow.
A lot of trouble.
So here it is, a guy who has shown no inclination to get involved in any kind of ideology, any kind of politics, not anything, and you're right away assuming, oh, it's a country western concert. By the way, he liked country western music, but it's a country western concert, so it must have been an attack on Trump, right?
I didn't say an attack
on Trump. Antifa, you were suggesting that he was aligned with anarchists. I don't know where you people come up with this crap. It's nothing to suggest. You got to know his politics. How about who he voted for? If he voted for Hillary, does that mean that he did this against Trump? If he voted for Trump, does it? What is wrong with you people?
No, there's. I'm not saying that.
Well, you said we need to find out this guy's politics.
Listen, if there's nothing there, there's nothing there.
Half the people in the United States voted in the last general election for president. Would their politics have determined if they would have committed this kind of crazy act?
No, absolutely not.
All right, so how about you just take a deep breath, all you conspiratorialists and you folks who definitely want to know that he's aligned with Bernie out the caucus, Sanders, or Trump, because you're desperate to find that out. Just like, who is that crazy guy who was saying he was some kind of Trump, anti-Trump rally, you know, wearing baby diapers and God only knows Hillary swath clothing. This is crazy. Just relax. If the information is there,
it'll come out.
It'll come out.
At least in the case in D.C., Virginia, where the congressman was shot.
Yes.
At least that
Scalise,
guy. Right. At least the guy had established that he had a beef with the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. He used to write letters to his newspapers editor, right. And they would publish him. And you could see the guy was a Sanders supporter. He was a kookalamunga. But he didn't represent Bernie Sanders.
Right, right.
We have nuts in America. A lot of nuts.
N-U-T-S.
Exactly.
Nuts.
There's nothing to do with politics. But you see, people can't accept that because it has to be. Gotta be a reason. Not that we have a lot of mentally ill people who have access to weapons of war. God forbid you suggest that.
Or medication. And sometimes that will push somebody over the edge.
We'll see.
You for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
With the passing of Tom Petty, this song could fit the NRA like a glove because even in the face of these kinds of horrific killings, the NRA won't back down. They want Teflon-coated bullets. If they had their druthers, hollow-point bullets. They want the gun silencer rules to be relaxed. Although Paul Ryan, the Republican leader and speaker in the House, has said, we're not going to be going near that legislation anytime soon. And the president weighed in on gun laws earlier today when he was talking about what had transpired in Vegas.
We have a tragedy. We're going to do, and what happened in Las Vegas is in many ways a miracle. The police department has done such an incredible job. And we'll be talking about gun laws as time goes by. But I do have to say how quickly the police department was able to get in was really very much of a miracle. They've done an amazing job.
What people don't realize is, Dominic Carter, that they knew where the gunman was, or at least had an idea based on the fact that he was firing so many rounds.
Correct.
It created smoke that set off the smoke detector in his room on the 32nd floor.
But at the same time, let's give law enforcement credit.
Oh, sure.
An active shooter situation.
Oh,
firing nonstop. And they're still able to get to this nut and to neutralize him or while he committed suicide, whatever the case may have been. But I do want to say this. Many of us support the Second Amendment right to bear arms, but the Republican Party, or more specifically, the NRA, they have been very smart at neutralizing even the possibility of talking about gun control around these incidents. Why is now not the appropriate time to talk about it?
Oh, it's totally appropriate.
How is it introducing politics to discuss it
now?
Well,
I'll give you an example.
If it's not appropriate to discuss gun control now, go tell it to the families of these 59 individuals.
Hillary tweeted yesterday a number of tweets, and she said, imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get. That is true. Notice how quickly Paul Ryan today said, we're not considering that legislation now. But he will in the future because the NRA and their lobbyists wine, dine, and pocket line these elected officials, sweeten them up. That's how they hold so much sway.
Not only sweeten them up, you have to get, whether you like the NRA, whether you despise the NRA, they don't only, they carry what you say, the carrot and a stick. What they do, the NRA, is we will give you funds for reelection. We will make sure that you don't have a primary, which is the magic wand for elected officials.
But
if you don't go our way, we will make sure that you have a primary and you will lose.
Now, the gun shop owner in which some of these guns were purchased weighed in yesterday about the purchaser.
I went out and found it. And I supplied it to him because I didn't see anything. Nothing, again, stood out. He was a normal, everyday guy that walks into my door 50,000 times a day.
Now, interesting, it is illegal to purchase a fully automatic weapon. He had converted his weapons, not
right.
All of them.
There's always a but.
But some of them to a fully automatic. Now, the chink in the law is you can't purchase a fully automatic weapon, but you can purchase a kit and some of the parts. And if you want to convert your weapon to fully automatic, That's A-OK.
And I believe that kit that you referred to, Mr. Sliwa, you can purchase online for approximately $50 or $100.
Yeah, yeah. So if somebody out there can tell me why you need a fully automatic weapon.
You know what time it is. These are weapons of mass destruction.
Of course.
They're weapons for nut jobs.
In fact, let me hear that cadence again. The rapid fire that was rained down on the crowd as they were entertained by the country western concert. It's a machine gun. Guy just pulls the trigger and it goes pop, 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 pop. It's a machine gun.
Now, before our callers call up and say that if somebody had a gun down below, they could have fought back. Well, that's simply unrealistic in this case. Think about this. I'm a proponent of gun control. I support the Second Amendment, but we have to be reasonable in these situations. I'm sure you, Mr. Sliwa, have read the comment from the drummer of the Josh Abbott band that was performing.
Yes.
Salib Keeter, is that his name?
I believe so.
In which he's a strong proponent of the Second Amendment,
right.
And he says that this case has changed his mind. And he raised a good point, having been on stage as the bullets started. Some of his team had firearms. Well, imagine, law enforcement, some of which were murdered, are running around trying to figure out what's going on, and you pull out a gun. Do you think they're going to say, oh, this is a good guy? Or are they going to have no clue and they may open fire?
Well, in this case, what are you going to do? Aim your fire at the 32nd floor where
good
it
luck,
appears
right.
that the shots are coming from? And there are other people in that hotel probably hunkered down in their hotel rooms wondering what the hell is going on. At least our president didn't say that this time, as he did, remember, in the attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, that, you know, if people had been strapped in the club, they would have been able to shoot back.
Well, I think we're seeing signs of the new chief of staff at the White House getting a hold of the president and saying, Mr. President, you can't jump out there on the limb on this one. Not on this one, Mr. President. And so that's why he deferred and said, we'll deal with gun control issues at a later date.
Let's go to Dan in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Danny?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Before the gun control, if you want to solve a homicide, first look at the victim. And is there any indication that a specific group of victims was targeted? Well, yes, it was a very specific group. It wasn't random. He didn't walk into a casino and shoot random amount of people. He shot at a very particular group. And if it turns out they had some political leanings, it may go that way. I don't care either way. The man's dead, but it could go that way. I believe it probably will go that way.
But Dan, how could he get, if he wanted to open fire in the casino, you know that there's security at the entrances.
Yes,
how would he get a weapon in?
Right, but when the man showed up at the club in Tampa, he was looking for homosexuals. He had a problem with that. It wasn't a random club. It was very specific. So this is a very specific gathering with a great majority, and not all, I might add, were middle-aged white people. If he did have a political leaning, this is a target, just as if he would have walked into a church full of African-Americans.
I hear you, but also an African-American, at least one, was murdered at this as well.
Absolutely. I said that. It's not a completely homogenous crowd. But anyway, getting back to gun control, I don't know how it's legal to have any kind of weaponry that would have that kind of clip. I give everyone a right to defend themselves. I was in a bar one time where someone came in and announced a robbery, and I'm a police officer, and I didn't do anything because that's what you're supposed to do, rather than have shoot it out. The guy took some money and he left. But I was very glad at that point that I was strapped on. So if it got worse, I could have been in a position to defend myself. I will never forget that, nor will I deny anyone the right to defend themselves. In this situation, it wouldn't have helped. In the club in Tampa Bay, it would have most certainly helped because the man went from room to room killing people.
Well, it's interesting, Dan. You mentioned the Pulse Club, the gay lesbian club in Orlando. Do you know that after months of investigation, you know why he went in there? Because there were gays and lesbians there who he hated. The FBI said, there's nothing conclusive to suggest he went into that club because it was a gay or lesbian club. This is our FBI. You got to wonder what kind of agents that we have who couldn't connect the dots on this one. Here's a guy, right, because of his crazy religious beliefs, his newfound beliefs, because before that he was not a religious
And the allegations that he was gay himself.
Right.
On the down low.
But he didn't go into that particular club because there were gays and lesbians.
Wait, says who?
The FBI.
Right. And that means it's a political decision. I guarantee you the agents knew exactly why this man targeted that club, but the institution of the FBI, for whatever reason, leadership decided we're not going to own this and put a reason on it.
Let's go to John in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Johnny?
Hey, guys. Listen, I was just calling about the law you were talking about regarding converting to full automatic weapons. The parts kits you're talking about purchasing are also regulated by the ATF. You can't just buy a conversion kit to convert a gun to full automatic. If you convert a semi-automatic to full automatic without notifying the ATF and getting a tax stamp, that is a federal felony. It's illegal.
But you can buy the kit to do that.
But you have to notify the ATF, and you have to pay the ATF for a license to do that.
So you're telling us you can't get that on the black market?
You can get anything on the black. I can buy a fully automatic weapon.
Wait a second, John. Are you suggesting that I can't go online and get a conversion kit that the ATF knows? How would the ATF know?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what the law is.
No. I'm saying, John, I go online, okay?
I'm just telling you if you violate the law.
Yeah, but that's after the fact. There is nothing preemptively.
If you're willing to violate the law.
Oh, my God. How many illegal aliens were willing to violate the law and come into our country? What are you, Stu? Not, John. If I can go online and buy a conversion kit, there should not be a way that I can do that online. There should not be a way.
Period.
How the hell can I just go online? I have a semi-automatic weapon. I want to convert it to a fully automatic, like this guy was shooting at that crowd.
But you want to have better aim at Bambi?
Well, no, the cans that I'm shooting in my backyard.
Oh, the cans.
I like to shoot it fully automatic. Mm. You know, it relieves my stress. You know how you have a ball that sometimes you grab for tension and stress? I prefer to just shoot cans.
Well, can you explain this to me?
This is crazy.
The phenomenon, not just to get away for 1 second from what happened in Vegas. The phenomenon, again, you know I went to school upstate New York. That's when I was introduced to hunting. But I'm going to be honest with you. As a brother, I was never really feeling hunting.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
You might have been hunted.
Thank you. I never bought into the wear the camouflage outfit and they won't shoot me.
Well, not only that. They would have said, hey, it was night. We couldn't see Dominic. Sorry.
So explain to me, again, away from Vegas for 1 second. The phenomenon of hunting. What I see deer as an innocent animal that doesn't harm anyone.
Well, others, because of their ability to fornicate and copulate, which suggests like Agent Orange in hooves, and that you have to call the herd. 1-800-848-WABC.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio talk show host.
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one is where High and Tom Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Ebony K. Williams not in the house. So we got the Mac Daddy substituting Dominic Carter, and right on time. Because the President of the United States has landed in Puerto Rico in San Juan. He's dealing with officials there, both from the federal government and the local government and some of the citizens. And so this is called a bit of a sarcastic comment that he made upon his touchdown in San Juan.
Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives.
God.
Not the most politically appropriate thing the President of the United States can say upon touching down when some have compared this to his Katrina moment. that was for President Bush.
This president's bedside manner sucks.
You just, I tried to clean it up and you called it for what it was.
Could I hear that cut again? Now, remember, you've landed in San Juan. There's a controversy in terms of are the people being served? Are they getting the supplies? What is the role of the federal government? What is the role of the local people? You figure you would come in there and you want to calm everyone down, right? Okay. Help is here.
Well, he did meet with his number one critic there, the mayor of San Juan. Oh, she's been very critical of him.
We're going to get to that momentarily, his revisionism on that. But first, this is what our president said upon touching down in Puerto Rico.
Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives.
Did Houston, Texas, did they throw our budget out of whack? Louisiana, Florida?
Mm.
God.
Maybe, let's give the president the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's tired. He's got to go on to the Virgin Islands, apparently, today. And maybe he just said the first thing that came to his mind. Let's try and give him the benefit of the doubt.
This is not improv. 1-800-848-WABC. And then it reminds me on the weekend when he's going back and forth with the local officials in Puerto Rico. And there's justification for both sides. Both sides are neither right or wrong on this. But he's at a golf course, and they're like sleeping on cots. And this is the best he could do at the President's Championship presentation of the Cup in Jersey City to the winning team, the United States.
On behalf of all of the people of Texas and all of the people of, if you look today and you see what's happening, how horrible it is, but we have it under really great control, Puerto Rico and the people of Florida who have really suffered over this last short period of time with the hurricanes, I want to just remember them, and we're going to dedicate this trophy to all of those people that went through so much, that we love, a part of our great state, really a part of our great nation.
Dedicate the cup at the President's Championship golf tournament to the people in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, and Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how to respond to that.
Well, because, why you think of that?
Okay, because I'm trying to be politically correct. Because a critic could say, well, I'm sure there were some Latinos there at the president's golf course.
What, were they groundskeepers?
Exactly, my point.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But this was the big spin. He did meet with the mayor of San Juan. She did show up for the meeting. Apparently, they exchanged pleasantries, although it was out of camera and microphone range. This was his observation. He basically claims he converted her.
Well, I think she's come back a long way. And, I think it's now acknowledged what a great job we've done. And people are looking at that. And in Texas and in Florida, we get an A+. And I'll tell you what, I think we've done just as good in Puerto Rico.
What?
And it's actually a much tougher situation. But now the roads are cleared. Communication's starting
to
come back.
No, they're not.
We need their truck drivers. Their drivers have to start driving trucks. We have to do that. So on a local level, they have to give us more help. But I will tell you, the first responders, the military, FEMA, they have done an incredible job in Puerto Rico. And whether it's her or anybody else, they're all starting to say it. Yeah. I appreciate very much the governor and his comments. He has said we have done an incredible job, and that's the truth.
Okay, so that's why they don't let students mark their own papers
in school. You're turning a beat red.
He's giving himself an A+.
Okay, so for this show today, let's give ourselves an A+. I mean, since this is all about self-evaluation.
We have what is called ratings.
Right.
The president has what is called an election.
Yes.
You don't get to give yourself grades.
Mm.
You will live or die by ratings in radio.
Mm.
You will live and die by the election process in government.
Mm.
You don't get to give yourself grades. How the chutzpah of this president to give himself an A+, all the roads are clear. Wrong. You're going to hear an update from the Guardian Angels tonight, who are embedded in Puerto Rico, have been there, obviously, days ahead of the president's arrival. That's just not true.
And 88% of cell phone service remains out in Puerto Rico as we speak right now.
But everything is great. It's A plus. Hey, let's give the president a grade. Let's be the teachers here. Let's give the president a grade. Do you really think the effort of the federal government in Puerto Rico has been A plus, top shelf, five star? Equal to the effort that was done for the state of Texas, Louisiana, and Florida? Do you think maybe when he goes to the U.S. Virgin Islands today, he'll pat himself on the back so hard he has to go for a chiropractic adjustment and give himself another A+? Is he impervious to any kind of failings? Does the guy never get an A or like an A-, a B-, or a C?
We may not like it. We may not like his approach. We may not approve of it. But it got him to the White House.
1-800.
Right? Are you willing to concede that, Mr. Sliwa, while you're still beat red here?
848-WABC. Let's quickly go, if we can, to Jeff, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Jeff?
Hey, Curtis, just one comment. Before we jump on Trump on this, what preparations did these islands, Puerto Rico, what pre-planning did they do for this storm? And, you know, what did they do to help themselves before you start criticizing Trump and the United States for the help they're giving now?
Okay, they've been hit by two hurricanes. The first one, not as seriously as, obviously, Hurricane Maria. They hunkered down. They tried to deal with it. And they got whooped with a hurricane the likes of which most Americans have never faced. What more could they do, Jeff?
I don't know, but here's everybody dumping on Trump because nothing's happened.
No. Jeff, he gave himself an A+. He said that the response in Puerto Rico was equal to our response in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. You've seen the coverage. Are you suggesting that he deserves an A+?
I'm just saying that they're criticizing him for saying that, but all the help that's going there, what did they do down there to prepare for it themselves instead of sitting back and waiting for somebody to bail them out?
Okay. When you say someone to bail them out, did we bail out the people in Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they Americans? Are they Americans in Puerto Rico? Are they Americans in Texas? We're all Americans. You had conflicting stories. In Texas, the governor said, abandon ship, right? The mayor in Houston said, stay in Houston. They weren't even on the same page. I didn't hear much criticism of that. You remember that? No, of course. You forget. I conveniently forget that the governor, you know, the guy we saw in the wheelchair, was saying, abandon ship.
Of Texas.
Get out now.
Right.
You will die.
Correct.
And what did the mayor in Houston say? Don't leave. Hunker down. They couldn't even get on the same page.
Competing interests.
Of course.
But, which often happens with politics,
right? But
with governors and mayors.
But were we critical of them? No, we said, you know something? They weren't on the same page. What's done is done. We just got to help them with recovery and relief.
Let's cut through the nonsense. Mm-hmm. We all know why Puerto Rico is coming under such attack. I mean, it's obvious. We can play this game and act like we're being politically correct. We all know what's really going on here in Puerto Rico.
He doesn't consider them equal to the people on the mainland.
Bottom line.
Okay, I buy that. Nor the people of the U.S. Virgin Islands equal to those on the mainland. Does he have any golf courses on Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think if he did, if he had some kind of a paradise there, you know, for high rollers, there might be a different attitude towards the island of Puerto Rico. Anyway, let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here on WABC. Mike? Yes, hello, Mike.
Mike, are you with us?
Let's go to Kathy, actually, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here on WABC, Kath.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that when all the supplies were brought in, all right, they were all piled up, they couldn't get anybody to deliver it, or they couldn't even deliver it. They were putting them in boats and everything else. But another thing is that the truckers were on strike, whether you realize it or not. And when they try to get people to at least try and get this up to the people, they wanted $50 an hour.
But Kathy, what does that have to do with the president, Kathy?
And the tone
that he's supposed to set, the bully pulpit of the presidency of the United States.
Well, let me just tell you something. When the supplies came in, all right, and he sent people in to help, all right, they were literally getting boats themselves off the ships with all the supplies in it to try and get somewhere. They actually put in a zip line. Why don't you get your story straight and try and find the right story?
Kurt? All right. Well, Kathy, you're not in Puerto Rico. I'm not in Puerto Rico, but I have a guardian angel there. The leader of my effort voted for Donald Trump, is a Donald Trump supporter, who has said that the president and the United States has not done all that they could have done.
And you're going to have that interview with a guardian angel member in Puerto Rico today at 5 p.m.
Who are in all those areas that are unreachable now, that have no cell phone communication, that have no electricity, that have no running water. How dare this president suggest that he deserves an A+? It's sort of like, the guy is an egomaniac. This is not about you, Donald Trump. This is about fellow Americans. This is not a time to give grades out. After the work is done, you want to take a victory lap? Fine. But this idea that all of a sudden you converted the mayor of San Juan, I want to hear the mayor of San Juan said, no, you know something, I was wrong. I apologize, Mr. Trump. That should not have been the discussion.
Good luck with that.
The guy is out of control. It's all about him.
But he got elected.
I understand.
But he got elected.
Let's see if he gets reelected. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
To the phones we go. Ebony K. Williams out today. Dominic Carter in the house. To Frank out in Staten Island. Welcome to WABC, Frankie.
What's up there, Curtis? What's up, fellas? What's up?
Hi, Frank.
Listen to me. How are you guys? Listen, I'm listening to you guys hating on Trump. It's not right, number one. First off, does Puerto Rico pay taxes towards America?
They don't pay income tax, but they pay every other kind of tax.
Right. Number one. Number two, weren't they just trying to vote to get away from the United States?
No, they voted to become a state.
But a lot of them didn't want to be part of the state.
No, the independence movement is a very small percentage of the population. You're talking about Commonwealth status. Those people lost their vote. They want to be a state now.
Okay, now they just became a state. And you're saying that Trump didn't do what he's supposed to do. He sent, we have armed forces there, we have the Coast Guard there, we have food there, we have water there. I mean, the guy can't move it himself.
No, but Frank,
so he gets an A+ for doing that much.
A+? Are you out of your mind? It's going to take months.
He gets an A+ for doing that much.
The island has been destroyed. You give yourself an A+, you're doing a victory dance after 2 weeks?
Listen, people are dying, so obviously there's no victory dance, but you got to give the guy credit where credit is due.
Don't they
have truck drivers there that are striking because they want $50 an hour and not moving?
Frank, in our military, do we have truck drivers, Frank?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Obviously they need
why are our truck drivers in the military not been assigned there?
I don't know.
If you knew there was a problem transporting the goods, in the first day they say, hey, we can't get the Puerto Rican truck drivers or enough of them to transport it. You couldn't fill up an Army cargo plane or Air Force cargo plane, military drivers.
A C-130.
Right, to take over those trucks and drive them?
Guys, but let me ask something. You don't think that they were trying to first make the people of Puerto Rico be part of this? What is America to do everything for them? Like you're saying?
Trump is so inclusive. The thing he called them ingrates.
Come on, I don't think he's a racist guy. I mean, listen.
Can I hear that cut again? You think this should be the first words out of our commander in chief when he touched down in San Juan? Wait a second. Listen to what he said.
Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives.
What kind of crap is that, Frank?
No, that's totally wrong.
Okay, so don't give yourself an A+ after you make a stonad statement like that.
All right, would you give him an A?
No, I give him a B.
Okay, okay, that's passing.
All right,
that's
give him a B. He's gotten the supplies
there.
Well,
you guys are killing him. Like,
no, because he's dancing there like he's the best thing since sliced bread, and we all need to kiss his presidential tuchus.
Is it possible that the president is, your words, Frank, killing himself? Is it with the words that he's using? Is that possible?
Sometimes the guy, Dominic, listen, you know as well as me, the guy sometimes says things, you know, shoots at the hip. I mean, I'm not going to deny that, but the guy does try to get things done. I mean, he has so many people against him. Sometimes it's not that easy to get things done.
I hear you, Frank, but even when we shoot from the hip, we should think before we comment.
How insensitive is that? You're blowing my budget. Oh, people in Texas didn't blow your budget. You don't blow your budget every day?
See,
what about your cabinet members who are taking flights all over the world on private jets like Price and others and Munchkin, the Munchkin guy and all the rest of them? They're not blowing our budget out?
Or what about, Mr. President, blowing out the Secret Service's budget in terms of protection of your family when the numbers have gone through the roof in terms of protecting them?
If I was in a bed dying of terminal illness, do not have the president come and visit me. His bedside manner sucks.
You for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
138. Dominic Carter in the house. Ebony K. Williams out today. And back-to-back, belly-to-belly, we've had two stories now. This one will be the second. Of police officers in the line of duty suing others, claiming that they have been injured or harmed, or in this case, a victim of defamation. Let me take you back to the U.S. Tennis Open that I hate, I loathe, I despise each year.
Why?
At Flushing Meadows Center.
Why?
Because your favorite mayor, David Dinkins, did one thing, prevented the planes from flying over when they were...
What is that noise supposed to mean?
That's like the female players, you know, they're grunting out there when they're hitting the ball, they're smashing the ball.
But I do believe that the Tennis Association made a lot of money off of tax revenue for the city of New York.
I must acknowledge, per capita, per person, per event.
So wait, stop the presses.
Yes.
Did Dave Dinkins do something right?
Oh, they make a lot of money. The city makes a lot of money.
Did Mayor Dinkins in your book, Mr. Sliwa, do something right?
Yeah, but I hate tennis.
Okay.
And the fact that they charge $32 for a microscopic piece of quiche that you need an electron microscope to find. But put that aside.
You're a quiche man?
No, I hate quiche.
Okay.
But this did not happen at the U.S. Open Center outside of Arthur Ashe Stadium or Louis Armstrong Stadium. No. This occurred in Manhattan, Midtown. Remember, outside of the Grand Hyatt Hotel, the former tennis pro James Blake was just standing outside, I think, waiting to get a ride to one of the matches at the U.S. Open. And you remember the video. There was the undercover cop who came up on him. And the next thing you know, he was slamming Blake to the ground. You know, he was almost like a rugby scrum there, in which Blake was on the bottom. He was on the top. The cop was later to say he thought that Blake was a suspect in a credit card scheme involving an online concierge service. The problem is, when I looked at the video, and I remember you looked at the video, and most of our listeners, if they can remember the video, there was no resistance from Blake. He was just standing there. The cop rolled up on him, spun him around. The next thing you know, slammed him, jammed him, and Blake is sucking concrete. So Bratton apologized to him. De Blasio apologized to him. I think they came up with a settlement because of the harsh tactics of the cop. Some kind of a nonprofit that they helped Blake set up. Well, Blake has since written a book. While this cop is still under departmental charges, they haven't yet figured out 2 years later what to do with the cop. And Blake, I guess, in the foreword suggests that he was a victim of systemic racism in the NYPD. This is his opinion, right? All of a sudden, the cop in question has filed a defamation lawsuit against Blake. He's also filed against the Civilian Complaint Review Board, its former executive director, Fox, the TV station, I think Channel 5. HarperCollins, which is publishing Blake's book. And I'm saying, what the hell is this?
So wait, I patiently listened.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure I got this right.
Mm-hmm.
So that I understand the situation.
Yes.
The officer that rolled on an unarmed man.
Right.
On busy 42nd Street in front of the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
Right.
The man who happened to be part African-American, tennis player. There was no, here's my NYPD badge, as is required.
No.
I am a police officer, sir.
No conversation.
Please get up on the wall, sir.
Right.
I mean, don't the cars say courtesy, professionalism, and respect?
Well, I could have seen, had he taken that rugby-style action, if there had been resistance.
Right. Okay, I just want to make sure I got this right.
But Blake was docile.
I just want to make sure I got this right. Yes. So he rolls on him.
Yes.
Old school style. Style that me and you could relate to.
Oh,
okay?
I used to see it all the time.
Right, all the time.
It's been done to me.
All the time.
Right.
And of course, this is before the day of video, so officially that never happened.
Right.
Officially, I did identify myself. Officially, I did pull out my badge. That's the way the story used to go, right?
And let's face it, it turned out it was Blake, a somebody, as opposed to, I won't say a nobody, but, you know, somebody who was just an average, everyday kind of guy.
So Blake wasn't a regular person of color.
No.
He was a very important guy.
Very established within the field of tennis. Well-liked.
The type that the mayor must apologize to for the way that he was treated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're telling me that this officer that in all likelihood is about to lose his job and just guaranteed it with this lawsuit is arrogant enough to sue? Is that what you're telling me, Curtis?
Yes, and it's not just suing Blake and his publisher, but I think Channel 5 who published this story, the Civilian Complaint Review Board. And I'm saying to myself, for defamation, you're a cop. You're used to getting praise and you're used to getting criticism. If Blake decides in the foreword of his book to be published now that he wants to claim that he was a victim of systemic racism of the NYPD, that's his opinion. He's entitled to that. How is it defaming the cop? When you look at the video, you would pause and wonder, gee, why the hell did the cop use such harsh tactics on this guy? This guy, he was like, it's like an Urkel.
But maybe I didn't see it on the video. Maybe I made a mistake on the videotape.
I don't think you did.
Maybe the officer, I hope you can sense the sarcasm oozing from my voice. Maybe the officer identified himself as an NYPD officer.
Mm.
Maybe, since the radio call had issued this, maybe he waited for backup before approaching Mr. Blake.
No.
I mean, right?
No, none
right?
of that.
He didn't just roll on him like a cowboy and take him down by himself.
Took him down.
Without identifying himself. And so Mr. Blake, if Mr. Blake had a gun, he didn't know who was approaching him.
Right. Right, he bulldogged him. In street terms, he bulldogged Blake down to the ground. Now, he says afterwards that Blake shook his hand once he dusted him off.
Right, and part of the lawsuit, he claims, is that the police department didn't release that part of the video. But the police department also protected his record of past civilian complaints
that
against him.
Apparently,
so you can't have it both ways.
That's right. Apparently, the PBA,
and the mayor protected it.
Right. The PBA will fight to its last breath that we are not to ever learn of the background of a member of the NYPD who is facing internal charges, which is ridiculous. We pay salaries. We have a right to know. I want to know, is this a dirty cop? Is this an aggressive cop? Is this a cop who's being victimized? Is this a cop who has a record of these kind of indiscretions?
Is it wrong of me to assume that he would roll on a guest coming out of the Grand Hyatt Hotel like that? What will he do with a 16-year-old black child in the hood?
That kid will be sucking concrete.
But maybe he identified himself and said courtesy, professionalism, and respect.
No identification.
Mm.
Blake did not know he was a cop.
Mm.
Blake is fully fluent in English, an intelligent young man, and again, very docile. Not, you know, he's not walking around sucking his bottom lip. F you, you know, mad dogging, eye fornicating. You know, he's not flexing.
Mm.
Nothing that would give you pause.
So you're
that
telling
he's
me,
resist.
In terms that I can understand, you're telling me he's a non-threatening black man.
Very non-threatening. He's Urkel.
Okay.
He's like Barack Obama. Like
I got it now. I definitely got
He's
it.
He's like
now.
An Urkel.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go to Gregory in the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Gregory?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that you got to understand this officer was doing what he was taught to do. If he's been an officer for the past 10 years, this is what they taught him. My son's an officer. My brother's an officer. I have two nephews that are officers. And this is what they're taught to do when they approach a black person, unfortunately.
Well,
I, Gregory, I'm sorry. I respect the law enforcement and your background. The NYPD, I've done training for them. I've hosted events for the NYPD at the Apollo Theater, talking to thousands of cadets. I've been to the house that they have up in the Bronx to do simulated situations. I have never heard this in my life, that this is where the department trains.
I've seen a lot of white cops roll up on black suspects and had conversations with them and then determined that it was the wrong person. You know, and then just apologize. Say, hey, we thought, you know, you fit the description. You roll up on somebody, you slam him.
But no, it was several officers in the unit. Why not wait for backup? Let's say Blake is the guy that they're looking for.
Right.
Why do you have to be a cowboy? Why not wait for backup?
Let's go to Ricky, calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Ricky.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Dominic. How you doing? Listen, just to touch on this topic very quickly. First of all, Urkel or not, Curtis, I did 25 years on the job, back in the early 80s, mid-80s, street crime unit. You got to do what you got to do. You don't know if this guy has a gun. That cop was by himself. They were doing an observation. Okay, he got to taste the ground a little bit, but you know what? He was helped off the ground, handcuffed. If they shook hands, they shook hands. Many a times I had to do that. And if it was the wrong guy, I apologize to the individual. I explained to him what the situation was all about. I maybe showed him a picture. And you know what? Things were just whitewashed over that. They made a big thing out of this because this guy plays tennis, so on and so forth. It's unfair.
Yeah, but Ricky, I have yet to see a reason why he was tossed to the ground.
You know what? It's hard to say, Curtis, because of the fact you don't know who's carrying a firearm, who has.
Then you would be throwing every suspect to the ground that you approach, and most cops do not throw their suspects to the ground.
Ricky, what if it happened? I just want you to answer this. What if it was your son? How would you feel that was thrown to the ground?
Well, you know what? I would be annoyed about it, but if I had a conversation with the police department or a supervisor, and they explained to me, listen, your son had fit the description.
And so that's why this officer has a right to Rambo your son down to the ground. And then the issue, Ricky, becomes, how is that incident going to improve police community relations with the black community?
They're not stereotyping, Dominic. They're not. Believe it or not, Dominic, I've done it to many of people in 25 years. White, black, yellow, green. If it was the wrong guy, I help them all.
Okay, but Ricky,
Ricky,
I'm going to give you a say. I thank you for your service. But if you walked up to somebody and just threw them on the ground without identifying themselves, you can be fired and lose your job if that's what you're doing.
I agree. But I from what I was told by certain people on the job at that current time, there was an observation going down. They had this individual, Mr. Blake, under observation, and they really thought he fit the description of
the guy, and you said, hey, you know, put your hands behind your back, and you cuff the guy. If the guy's resisting at that time, all right, now maybe you have to use force. There was never an attempt to do that. And you know Blake. He would have folded like a cheap camera.
Let's assume he's the type of black guy that's not going to fold.
Oh, you mean with attitude?
No. Let's say a regular black man that's just not going to fold.
Mm.
And some guy just approached him. Then what? He starts swinging on the officer, not realizing that it's a police officer. And then somebody's dead.
Well, that's why your badge is out.
Right. Well, of course he had his badge out, right? And he identified himself, correct? Is that what you're telling me?
No. No badge out.
So then,
no identification.
Okay, so then if he didn't identify himself and his badge wasn't out, how's Mr. Blake supposed to know who he's dealing with?
Of course he didn't know. He didn't know. 1-800-848-WABC.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and lead
attorney, radio talk show host,
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To
the millions. I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up.
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Lewa.
Now, putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
No, no, no. I'm not a juvenile delinquent.
7 minutes after the hour or two, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to broadcast to all of you on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. And Ebony K. Williams out today in her place, the Mac Daddy, Dominic Carter, who is humming that Frankie Lyman in the Teenagers classic, I Am Not a Juvenile Delinquent. Is that what you used to sing on the rooftops of the Bronx on a hot, sweltering night, Dominic Carter?
Actually, no, even though it's a nice song. What we used to do, I guess you and I are in a little bit of a different generation. Rap was just starting.
Mm.
And so in my hood, we would do Grandmaster Flash.
And the Furious Five, yes.
What
yes.
do you know about? You know, you said
the
something
message,
earlier.
The Message.
Wow.
That was the classic
I'm impressed,
rap song
Mr. Sliwa.
Well, remember, that's where I started the Guardian Angels at that same time in the Bronx.
You might be as black as I am.
Yeah, I'm
perhaps.
Blacker. I'm black. But let me.
But wait, you said something earlier that caught me off guard.
Sure.
Only a real New Yorker would know this.
Mm-hmm.
You refer to John Bargain Stores.
John Bargain Stores, right.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let's face it. Before there was 99 cent Jack stores or
That's
dollar
right.
stores.
That's right.
There was the John's Bargain Stores.
That's right. That's right.
Now, remember, you used to buy the items. They were so cheap. They would say they was from Formosa, a.k.a. Taiwan. Our China, not Red China. That's when all the cheap stuff was made by Chiang Kai-shek and his people who fled mainland China to Formosa.
And next you're going to tell me about Alexander's on the Grand Concourse.
That's right, Grand Concourse.
Wow.
And a number of other cheap escapades that you and I had experiences with.
And so now they officially call them 99-cent stores.
Right.
Okay.
And whereas you sort of had issues, esteem issues, because you were wearing Skippies when everyone else was wearing Pro Cons, or they were wearing Pro Keds, or they
or
were wearing
Pumas,
PF Flyers.
Or the sheepskin jackets.
That's right. You were
so
upset
on.
That you were forced to wear those tennis sneakers.
No, believe it or not, my family members, my aunt that raised me and my grandmother, I was never allowed to wear clothes that looked like I was from the hood.
Ah.
And I used to cry because that made me Urkel.
So you wanted those suede Pumas of yours with no laces?
No, I wanted like shoes that were called British Walkers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I was never allowed to own a pair, ever.
No Adidas, no British Walkers?
I did have Adidas.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you had some street cred.
A little bit.
Instead of those Skippies.
No Skippies.
God. But anyway, we're talking about school violence, and your mayor, not my mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, I didn't vote for him, and obviously I'm not voting for him again, so that the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, can have a second term. In the aftermath of that horrible incident in the Bronx High School south of the Bronx Zoo, in which the kid who had been bullied decided enough was enough, pulled out a shiv that he had just purchased 2 weeks before, and stabbed the guy who was throwing broken pencils at him, and then his friend who came to his aid. The first young man died of his wounds. The second young man was in serious condition. And this young man is facing major, major charges. But the mayor came under immediate attack that he was using fiscal tricknology with the stats, the crime stats in the schools. He was claiming that crime has never been lower in the school system. The children, the staff, and everyone who works in the schools, the public schools of New York, have never been safer.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to be a teacher or you happen to be involved in the school system of New York, feel free to come forward and let us know if, in fact, that's true, because the mayor appears to be a bit delusional when he says
that. Okay, but wait. But the mayor and his school's chancellor said this, so it must be fact.
Carmine Farina. That's why I'll never eat Farina again. Wheatina, yes. Farina, no. But they are delusional. And they spend 90 minutes of a town hall meeting with parents trying to get that across. And I don't think it resonated. In fact, let's listen to this first parent.
It's horrifying to know that a child has actually died in a school. I'm just like out of my mind right now.
Okay, they didn't seem to understand that. And then another parent weighed in.
To be honest with you, Ms. Farina, I don't see much positive attitude from elementary school when it comes to handling bullying or any form of racism or discrimination.
And that's when your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, bogarted the chancellor of the Department of Education, the DOE, dumbest organization ever, Carmine Farida. And he decided to answer this woman's question.
We need to know when a parent feels a case of bullying has not been addressed, because it will help us to create the accountability. And we want all of our employees to know they have to take it seriously.
Do you really think the mayor wants these concerns being brought to the school leadership's attention? Because remember, it'll become another statistic. It'll make it appear that there is more crime than he claims there is. Or is he just saying this in the PR moment to try to basically hush, hush, mush, mush concerned parents who are saying, hey, the public school systems is out of control when it comes to violence and chaos in the classroom?
This is really sad that the mayor of the great city of New York is stating this, when in this specific case of this young man that's been arrested and another that's been stabbed to death or close to it, in this situation, they did report the bullying. They did. And yes, your assessment is correct. Any official, I learned this the hard way, Curtis, any official can manipulate numbers. Guess what? You can even make dead bodies disappear on official counts for the cities. You know how that's done? It's real easy. My friends at the medical examiner's office taught me this trick. It's real easy. Hmm. Let's say Mayor 77 WABC,
right,
that mayor, needs three murders to disappear,
yes,
so that he or she can walk out and proclaim that crime, the city is safe, crime is down. You know what they simply do to make those bodies disappear? You reclassify the cases as still under investigation.
Uh-huh.
It's real simple.
Hmm.
And so this is what school officials do with incidents. You either, A, don't report it to begin with, you lower it, or you just reclassify it. So if the city of New York needs three bodies to disappear for the murder count for the year so that the mayor can hold his great news conference, no matter who the mayor is, the medical examiner, if they're playing ball, simply reclassifies three cases as still under investigation, and there you go. Presto, the safest city in America.
So, statistical technology, really.
No doubt about it. Under any mayor, all mayors have done it.
Let's open up our phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jill first up in the queue from Larchmont. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Jill.
Hi, Curtis. My son is a Bronx phys ed teacher, and it is horrible. I worry more about my son than I do the children, because when the children act up, the teachers are not allowed to touch them. It is horrible.
We thank your son for his service in terms of being a teacher, but please continue.
I just feel like nobody stands up for the teachers. It's all these children. I am definitely against bullying. I think it's a horrible, horrible thing. I feel sorry for the kid that did it, because he was picked on so bad, he had to go to that extreme to stop it.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Jill, is years ago when I went to public school, especially Builder C. Junior High School in Canarsie, it was the male gym teachers who were law and order. If you were messing with other teachers, if you were messing with other students, if you were picking on people, if you were a bully, since we had gym every day, you had to eventually deal with the muscle head who was the gym teacher. Not all that bright, I don't know if they even went to college, but somehow they were the gym teacher because they had the muscle between both ears. But they were the disciplinarians. That's where they exhibited discipline. And they beat the living daylights out of you sometimes in front of the other kids in order to let you know. You don't pick on Mrs. McGillicuddy any longer.
Well, Jill was correct, the last caller, in terms of the safety for teachers. I know you remember this case well, Curtis, in the Bronx. Remember Gerald Levin, the CEO of Time Warner?
Oh, sure.
His son was a teacher at a public high school and was murdered.
At Taft High School.
Taft High School.
And he was dealing with kids who had some issues.
Yes.
Going
over and above to try and help these kids.
But he did make that mistake of getting too friendly with the teenagers, who then visited him at his apartment, I think near Lincoln Center. They tied him up with duct tape. They robbed him. They robbed everything they could grab in the house, and he suffocated to death.
Yes.
And naturally, the father was completely devastated. Never was the same afterwards.
And left Time Warner shortly thereafter and just moved out to California.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Greg calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here on WABC. Greg?
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. So listen, my son, he was last year in kindergarten, he was being bullied. He was coming home every day crying. So what I did was I had meetings with the principals and the assistant principals, and they paid no attention. They wouldn't even change him from his class. So I even had to go to the district office. I went to the district office, and I complained about it. I wrote a letter. Still, the whole year, they didn't change my son's class.
Mm.
Right? So now my son came home crying every day. I just wound up keeping him home from school just because I knew he was just in too much pain. And then they said that they would leave him back because he missed too many days of school.
So oh, yeah. Well, Greg, your son and what you went through in trying to protect your son is so similar to what happens to so many parents or guardians of kids in the public school system. Most of the kids who do not go to school, we think they're just truants. You know, they're just not wanting to go to school. No, it's because they're terrified to go to school. They get illnesses from it. They get all kinds of problems as a result of just not wanting to go to school and catch another beat down or another, you know, be bullied again and thrown into the corner. And you fully informed the school system and nobody came to your help?
No, not only did nobody come to my help, but check this out. The next year now he's in first grade, he's in a class, well, he was in a class, with the same bullies who bullied him in kindergarten.
Wow.
After all of that. So I had to literally and threaten the assistant principal. And I don't want to say, this is not my real name, Greg, I don't want to say, but I had to find and threaten the assistant principal, and they finally changed my son's class.
Well, you did the right thing. If you don't stand up for your own children and you let them get swallowed into the abyss of government, bureaucratic, administrative detail, your kid will just get chewed up and spit out.
No doubt about it. If you don't stand up for yourself or your children to these bureaucrats. Because to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to offend any of them, I wouldn't want half of these bureaucrats that are in the Department of Education to apply for a job to walk my dog.
I'll give you a simple example. My son Anthony, my oldest son, who's now 13, he was about 8 years old. He likes basketball, was playing basketball after school. Some kids approached him in the schoolyard. They took his basketball. They smacked him around. You know, they were talking all kinds of trash.
Why did they do that? Oh, boy.
So,
because here comes Daddy.
Daddy was there the next day. I took the main bully. I held him up by his ankle, and I threatened to pile drive him into the cement. And I looked at everyone else in the park, and I say, really? Come. You want some of this? Some of the men there? You sucking your bottom lip? You say, oh, I can't believe Slee was doing that. You want me to pile drive you too? Every time he would go on to the court thereafter, even sometimes when he would bogart other games, and I would tell him, you can't do that. The kids are already playing.
You know
stay
what?
Off their court.
You know what?
What?
I hate to tell you, you're a thug.
Total. Canarsie East, New York. Remember, in Canarsie East, New York,
they shoot.
I would
love to see that. I would love to see that. You walking up to the brothers.
Tell them, you sucking your bottom lip? You want me to pile drive you too? And from then on, nobody bothered the kid. But my kid took advantage. He would bounce the ball and he would interfere with the game. And I would say, no, you don't do that, Anthony. They're playing a game. You have a court over here.
Right.
If the ball falls over there, that's one thing. But you purposely go. Now you're taking advantage.
I always tell the story of at a book signing that I was doing, and you showed up on 135th Street in Harlem, and you started harassing the Nation of Islam guys.
Right in the shadow of Harlem Hospital.
You were the only white person that happened to be there.
It was hotter than hell that day, remember?
It was hot that day. And you were up in their face.
Right, they had their bow ties on. They're talking that Farrakhan nonsense and trying to sell me Bialy and bean pies, right? I said, I don't want your freaking bean pies and your newspaper. And we were like ready to set it off. And you said to me, I got my family here, Curtis. Please, please don't set it off. I said, Dominic, mind your business. It's me and the Nation here, the Fruit of the Loom Boys. Remember, I was calling them Fruit of the Loom Boys because
right
they call
face.
Themselves
right to their
Fruits
face.
Of Islam.
Right.
I said, yeah, you're Fruit of the Loom Boys.
And that's when I knew that you were touched. That's when I knew.
Touched, psychotic, but I've survived. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Ebony. The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
To the phones we go. Ebony K. Williams out. Dominic Carter in the house. Let's go to Jerry in Staten Island. Welcome to WABC, Jerry.
Hey, Curtis, how are you? Dominic, hi.
Good afternoon.
You mentioned bullying earlier. My daughter was bullied as well as like three other kids in her classroom. We went to the principal, school board, whole nine yards. The four kids had to be moved, but the bullier stayed. I talked to the officials. It seems like the bullier had more rights than the victims.
Wow. So when you say the other children had to be moved, were these victims of that same bully like your daughter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One kid actually had to leave the school. My daughter had to go to a different classroom as well as the two other kids. And it seems like the bullier, according to the Board of Ed, has more rights than the victims.
Well, it's clear that this administration, the de Blasio administration, does not want to deal with this kind of stuff because if it surfaces, it becomes a stat, and then it's something they have to answer for. Now, the state keeps different statistics that when you read it, they indicate there has been a horrific rise in problems in our school system in the five boroughs, the public school system. But when you look at de Blasio's, who's cooked the books, his Board of Education or Department of Education, you see something that it pales in comparison. You say, how could there be such a disparity in the statistics? Anyway, let's go to David, who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Dave?
Yeah, hi, Curtis and Dominic. I guess I have one statement here. On Monday, Mayor de Blasio and Councilor Farina had a meeting with the parents in Brooklyn about the stabbing and the violence in the schools. And one of the questions was, what are you going to do about the kids being out of control? And Farina said, and this is a quote, I just want to be clear that a lot of what happens in the classrooms, that sometimes that can look wild, is interactive learning. So I guess stabbing kids is interactive learning. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Wow. Interactive work. It's like a school with no walls. Remember, they went through that for a while. They call it, oh, you get an education, it's a school with no walls. Well, how can you have a school with no walls? You need walls in order to separate kids in different classes and to have some privacy, so that they can focus on their lessons. But they used to actually have that, a school with no walls. Can you imagine the chaos that ensued with that?
I can't imagine 70 to 80% of what goes on with the New York City Department of Education.
And the problem, we pay all these taxes, close to $20,000 a student.
And all these bureaucrats, job after job with pensions and all types of benefits, and no one knows what they're doing.
And in a lot of these school districts, as you know, Dominic, the parents opt out. They don't want to get involved with the education of their kids. So remember, then you're basically saying, do whatever you want to do to the Department of Education, dumbest organization ever. Up next, I warned of this when everyone was banging the drum to raise the minimum wage, something that obviously people need. They need to have to make more money in order to pay all the bills in the city. But now Shake Shack, right? All of you love Shake Shack, like Brian Mongalucci. You can't wait till he gets his burgers, fries, and his shake.
But the food is good. Shake Shack is good.
No more cashiers. And then no more delivery people.
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm going to explain it up next. Just remember, who knows about fast food? Who is the fast food scenario here? But yours truly, Curtis Lee, with Mr. Mickey D's. But before we go into that direction, let's get some news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
New for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony. Exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
.236. Yours truly, Curtis Lewa, helping you get the rest of the way to 3 and Michael Savage, but in tow is Dominic Carter, Ebony K. Williams away today. Now, Dominic Carter, you know I made my bones as the night manager of Mickey D's on East Fordham Road and Webster Avenue in the Bronx in the mid-70s.
This is correct. But before we go on,
yes,
I just want to know, do you remember that famous McDonald's commercial with the jingle? I'm just curious.
Oh, you mean the Big Mac? Yeah. Wait a second. We'll get that for you. Hey, Brian Mongalooch, make yourself useful here. Would you get him my favorite jingle there, the Big Mac jingle here? Because I remember Dominic Carter coming in from the drug school, a.k.a. Roosevelt High School, trying to run a game on me. He ate a Big Mac in front of me, and then all of a sudden he said, hey, I want my money back to the cashier. And I come up there, and you said, yeah, there's a hair in my Big Mac. I said, you ate like almost the whole Big Mac. You just discovered the hair. What do you think, I'm stupid because I'm white?
To all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
That's it.
Yes. That's like my smelling salts.
That's it.
You know what I used to do when a runner Max would come up? I'd have to do quality control, and I'd have to eat a Big Mac to make sure it was good quality.
Of course.
By the end of my shift, I must have eaten like 24 Big Macs. But anyway, I warned that this would come, and I knew of it years ago. They were experimenting with robots, fast food emporiums. In fact, one out of every three Americans now, Dominic Carter, can trace their work history to a job somewhere in fast food. Now, for some, it may have been Wendy's, Burger King, Mickey D's. Maybe for some, it was, Kennedy Fried Chicken, you know, a Kansas Fried Chicken, like the absolute worst you could get. But the
I'm not the only one that felt that it was the absolute worst.
No, it's run by Afghans. They bring their whole tribe over from Kabul, and they run it morning, noon, and night. But it's a horrible chicken. You know, it's like, you say, is that chicken or is that, like, rat there that you fried? But the point being is, one out of every three Americans can trace their work history, their entry-level job, to fast food. Now, increasingly, more of those people are going to be replaced by robots. Brian Mongalooch, our hipster, our millennial here, who I hate, I loathe, I despise with his skinny jeans, his man bun, and his Converse sneakers, he will take his entire paycheck and stand online at the schmuck Danny Myers, Shake Shack, just to get their burgers, their fries, and their shakes.
You don't?
No. Well, first of all, I can't eat that anymore with colitis. You know that. But
I like to go to the one. They have one up at the Woodbury Mall in, it's about 20 minutes from Rockland County.
Sure. You go into the Mid-Hudson Valley.
Right.
So all the outlets.
Woodbury Commons. Right. But you have to admit, the burgers are good. Well, you don't eat them anymore.
I don't need them. Okay. But this is what they've done, and this is what is a disgrazia, a shanda. They have decided they will no longer have cashiers. They're building a new Shake Shack in the East Village. They never would have thought of building one when it was the alphabet jungle, A, B, C, and D, and the crack zombies were roaming about. But now it's hipsters and millennials like Brian Mongalooch and the invader from Alabama, our producer on our phone screen, Justin B. Love. So they have decided that they will have robots replace humans. Cash will not be accepted. And in fact, soon thereafter, they will have robots who will do the maintenance to come out and scoop up any of the trash in the lobby where people have finished eating. And they will start using robots to deliver their food. So you can imagine it's just another two steps away that the cooks, you know, who was ever preparing the food back in the kitchen, their jobs will be eliminated by robots, and eventually almost everybody in a fast food establishment will be a robot. Now, management and ownership, if it's a franchise or if it's a part of the corporation, they will say that they're being forced to do this because state after state is enforcing increased minimum wages, which go up to about $15 in some states by the time they're actually enacted. Ladies and gentlemen, as consumers, is this something that you want to see? That you'll be walking in and dealing not with a cashier behind the counter, but a robot? That the person sweeping up in the lobby will be a robot? That the person delivering your food, whatever food it may be, won't be that illegal alien Jose who can't get into the building because he has no identification, but instead will be Robbie Robot. Danger, danger, Mr. Robinson. Danger, danger.
Have you ever called?
I am CPO,
have you ever called one of these automated? Well, you're calling your, let's say, a credit card company, or
right.
And the automated system comes through.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that wanted to throw my phone or computer out the window?
No.
When you try and answer? Yes.
Right.
I did not understand that. Please repeat.
Danger,
yes.
Will
yes.
No, Will Robinson.
But you have to give unions credit. They warned us that this day was coming. They really did warn us. Remember, there was something that used to be around, the kids probably don't even remember now, called toll booth collectors.
Sure.
Remember that?
Sure. They just eliminated like the last ones here in New York City.
And they promised us. Now, some of them didn't have the best attitudes. And some of them on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's like, come on, Keisha, with the attitude.
Yeah.
Save it.
SWA,
you know?
Sister with an attitude,
by
the way.
I'm not going that far. I'm not doing it.
Well, Keisha, yeah, that's a white woman's name, right? When's the last time you heard a white woman named Keisha? Come on.
You're going to get us fired.
And then they got like 52 pairs of Playtex gloves on, so they can't feel the change, right? So they're giving you the wrong change. And
but can I ask you this?
Yes.
Keisha, you got problems with your man. Why do you have to take it out on me when I'm just trying to pay my toll and go?
You just want your change and go.
And by the way, Keisha, by me paying the toll, you get to keep your job.
Yep, yep.
Isn't that a good exchange?
Yep.
But we saw this day coming. That's my point. In terms of the Tap and Z, there are no more toll booth collectors.
No.
And all the elected officials promised, we're not eliminating jobs. Remember that?
Let me correct you. You called it what bridge?
Oh, excuse me, the Mario Cuomo bridge.
You have offended Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia
Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I. Don't get started. Please don't get started.
In fact, he doesn't refer to it as the Mario Cuomo bridge. He goes, Mario's bridge.
Mm.
At taxpayers' expense.
Mm.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Roger, first up in the queue, calling from Bay Ridge. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here at WABC. Raj?
You guys are making me hungry. Could a robot spit in your food? Now listen, guys. Curtis walks up to the fast food restaurant in the Bronx. The White Castle walks up to the window. He goes, "I want 300 burgers." And the girl goes, "What? And how many do the kids want?" Listen, guys. Robots are all over the place. The technology is there. I just couldn't picture getting into a fight with a robot. I know a guy in China married his robot about 4 months ago. I don't know what the honeymoon looked like. But the bottom line is, the technology is here. The computers can test that. They can also test the tone of your voice if you're in a bad mood, guys. You guys work on it. You need your choppers to do your job. The bottom line is that robots are here. They're coming. Drones are coming. We're going to have to deal with it. Even though we claim we grew up on science fiction movies and we loved it, listen, it's coming to our. We're going to be living what we watched as little kids.
Now, Roger, you mentioned in China, you're absolutely correct, a robot that you befriend, it actually becomes your paramour, so to speak. Do you have to use like WD-40 oil in order to make sure that you consummate the relationship with the robot?
What is wrong with you?
Well, the thing is with the robot.
It's asking, right? I mean, you know, it's sort of like to make sure it doesn't squeak. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to the phones. It's Mike who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Mikey.
Oh, man, thank you guys so much. You're making me laugh. The radio's been so morbid in the last few, especially the last few days.
I mean,
there's a good reason for it. But I'm thinking you're pushing way too far. I think we got another 20 years. Robots coming to the door delivering food and then McDonald's? You think, how long?
No, it's Shake Shack is pioneering in this. Danny Myers, who rolls in dough, couldn't care about employing people. He's just looking at his bottom line. He wants to basically take all of those entry-level jobs and turn it over to robotics. So all the jobs that, you know, kids in college or high school would generally get entry-level jobs, and sometimes people who hadn't worked in a while, they need to get back into the, you know, the swing of things, so they get a fast food job, part-time job. None of them are going to be available, Mike. It's going to be all robots. It's going to be like the Horn and Hardart was years ago.
Oh, we're doomed. We're doomed. That means we're doomed. You got academia teaching the kids nothing. They're not going to be able to get jobs. All right. What are you going to do?
Yep.
Have a nice day, boys.
Do appreciate that. Anyway, let's go to Joe, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here at WABC, Giuseppe.
Hey, guys. Hey, Curtis, you know, you and I are the same age. I don't know if you remember, but this isn't a new idea, because back in the 60s, they used to have the automat. Remember, you'd go in and you put a quarter in Midtown. You put a quarter in the sandwiches world, be in the in little box, glass boxes. You put a quarter in and get your food out and stuff. You never dealt with it.
Sure. It was enticing to watch. In fact, your parents would sometimes take you there. And you would go watch all the different items as people would put their quarter in and they'd get them out.
Those were the good old days, Curtis.
But, Joe, the difference is, behind the scenes, the people preparing that food were humans. Now it's going to be robots from beginning to end.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just the cashiers being eliminated.
Well, now, that's now. Cashiers, maintenance people, and delivery boys or girls. And then they're going to extend it into the kitchen, whoever prepares the food, and those who box the food.
So, but you have to have someone to take cash. Right, the payment. If you're paying with cash,
you can use your phone. They said something about using your cell phone or using the.
Yeah, they don't want to. They want to be a cashless store, if at all possible.
Yeah, and then you know it's almost like automated the way they make food now. You know, the food you buy in ShopRite or the Food Town in the supermarkets. Well, that food is prepared by robots.
Yeah, and you know something. That's where Dominic hangs out all the time at Food Town. And associated. Come on, admit it, right? Those used to be your supermarkets of choice.
No, but at least with the robots, you won't have to deal with a negative attitude of an employee that has a bad. Why is it I always get on the line where the young lady has a problem with her boyfriend and she feels entitled to take it out on me?
Because you got that look. You know, you look like a human pinata. Like an SWA sisters with attitudes, they just want to pick on you.
I didn't say a sister. I didn't say a sister. So you've never met a white woman with an attitude?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so what do you
call some of my wives.
So what do you call them? Why are you turning beet red?
I can't say that on the radio, what I call them, or we'll get knocked off by the FCC. Anyway, let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic here on WABC, Bill.
Hey Curtis, man, you're the man. I love listening to you. And Dominic, I am so glad you're on the show today. Thank you both.
Thank you.
As far as the robots are concerned, do you remember 2001: A Space Odyssey, where the computer HAL tries to take over the ship? That is very possible today, unless there is a very, very close monitoring of these computers being watched by humans. And can somebody mess up? Absolutely. Now, that's the bad thing about computers.
Well, let me tell you the problem here, Bill. Let's say we're in a normal McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
You get somebody like Dominic. He has an insatiable appetite for Big Macs, because Big Macs really sell mostly in urban areas. Not that people don't buy them outside. And,
here we go.
And imagine
here
if,
we go.
Imagine if all of a sudden the robot did not put the Mac sauce into that Big Mac. Dominic Carter is like going to threaten to break up the restaurant, right?
But Dominic doesn't have to worry about something. If he is going to get a burger from a computer, he doesn't have to worry about the computer picking its nose.
Ew.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Ew.
I've seen that up at the cashier.
No, I'd rather deal with the picking of the nose than the attitude of the employee.
And then they throw their food in the bag and they don't even close the bag. Sort of like... And then you wonder why you're being replaced by Robbie Robot. By the way, if you didn't get the right proportion of Mac sauce in your fries, you would break wild, right? You would go crazy.
No, I'm a French fry.
Because the brothers, they love that Mac sauce.
French fry.
You would like
French fry.
French fries. You'd like Mac sauce with your French fries, right?
Not really.
I had brothers willing to pull out a Philly roll and give me $100 for mac sauce with fries, and I told them I can't do that. Can't give you that condiment.
Why not?
Because it's only for the Big Macs. And you know something? I went down swinging and winging over that. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Dominic Carter here at WABC. Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Steve.
I just want to tell you, I'm an Astoria boy, living in Poconos for 27 years. All the stores here that are Sheets gas stations and Wawa gas stations, they've had kiosks in them for years already. You got to go and make your sandwich, and then somebody will bring it out when it's ready.
Oh, no, I know. That's obviously the convenience stores were pioneering in that, especially Wawa's. That's the first time I ever saw it outside of Great Adventures, in fact. First time I ever saw it years ago.
I love the Poconos area, and I was confused the first time that it happened at a Wawa store. And I'm like, wait a minute, well, where's my sandwich? Sir, it'll be out for you in just a minute.
Oh, by the way, the Poconos, you know, that's the sixth borough of the city of New York.
It is now.
You know how many civil servants who work for the city schlep all the way out? You can check them out.
A lot.
Up near the Port Authority every day, two-hour ride there, two-hour ride back.
Have you ever considered
moving to the Poconos?
I had a home in the Poconos.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Leave it to Beaverland, Father Knows Best, Little House on the Prairie.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I thought you were from the hood.
I am from the hood, but I love you, man.
No, please. I don't go that way.
I love you, man.
Dominic, I don't go that way. Do me a solid. Don't ever put your lips on my lips.